We're standing around the courtyard here in at the Central Presbyterian Church.
Day four? I don't even know anymore. This was day seven and eight.
Unbelievable. Ann Powers, Robin Hilton, Stephen Thompson, myself, Bob Boylan. We are with two interns as well.
Two former interns.
All interns.
Yeah. Fight!
Fight! Fight! I don't want to fight each other's throats.
Mike Katzef is here. Mike Katzef now working at WNYC. And someone we haven't seen in a long time, Will Butler.
Will Butler.
Hey, y'all.
Will Butler, you have the story of the century. Okay, no. You got the story of the week.
Story of the week.
The story of the internet minute.
So we had this post by Andrew Svensson on our site at the beginning of the week, titled "Why I'm Not Going to South by Southwest This Year." Will read it, and you thought...
Yeah, so I read it. I had never been to South By, and it was basically, I didn't think I ever would go, and I read it. I was sitting in my house in Oakland, California, and I just thought, like, oh, man, I saw my own cynicism about the festival totally reflected in it, and I kind of got sad, and I thought, what would it take to go to South By for free, you know, like, just for nothing? Like, how's the cheapest I could do it? So I started looking at ride shares. I found one from L.A., and I decided that night I was going to go. This was 6 days ago, 7 days ago. So then I slept on it, and I woke up on Friday morning, and I thought, because really I just wanted to be able to do whatever the hell I wanted. I didn't want to be obligated to do anything at South By. I just wanted to have fun.
It should be said for people who don't know that most people have to book their hotel rooms and everything months, even a year in advance. I mean, this is radical.
Well, so I woke up Friday morning, and I thought, like, maybe someone would pay me to do this. So I cold emailed Noisy, Vice's music site, and I just, this was word for word, my pitch was, "Hi, my name's yada yada, I've never met you before, but I thought you might be interested in this. I've never been to South by Southwest. I have no badge, I have no money, I have no place to stay, no plans, and I'm blind."
And they said, winner!
For those who can't see, Will is currently holding a white cane.
It's true. It's a relatively new accessory in the past few years, and it's something that you adapt to, and you can't let it slow you down. So basically, Vice commissioned five daily posts out of me, and I'm writing over at Noisy every morning at about 5 a.m.
Go check them out. Go check them out.
Yeah, that would be great if you guys are interested. I've had quite a few capers. I've been hanging out with a lot of locals.
Tell Bob who you had ice cream with today.
I had ice cream with Kitty Pryde this afternoon, and we dished about the industry and who's sleeping with who. And tomorrow I'm hoping to set up a kissing booth with this rapper Antoine.
I was going to do that.
We'll see if that happens.
I'm supposed to go home tomorrow, but now I might have to cancel just so I can go see that.
We heard this inspiring keynote address from Dave Grohl at the outset, which is about finding your voice. And your story is so, it just sort of reflects that, I think.
Absolutely.
So much of, if you want to do something, just do it.
Right. Yeah.
And one more time, we put our hands on our heart every time we mention Will Butler's name. We're gonna do it.
Will Butler.
Hey. Let me just say about that though. About
it's actually not my name.
Yeah. And I see rather well.
My name's Dave Grohl. Yeah. About inspiring addresses. Actually, that very night, the thing I watched on YouTube, I think, that made me do this was the new TED Talk from Amanda Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
That made me cry. Honestly and truly,
right?
Made me cry.
It was
very beautiful. Watch that, everybody.
For those that haven't seen it, it's called The Art of Asking.
That's right.
And exactly. This is something that I have always had a problem with. And when you lose a considerable amount of vision, you have to get really good at asking for things gracefully and in a way that doesn't take away from your own self-esteem. So she gave this great TED Talk about how important it is to ask for things from people. And
which
how
started
that,
for her with busking on the street.
Busking on the street. And how that, more than anything, makes yourself vulnerable and creates a connection that's really important. And I think after I saw that, actually, I decided to do all this. So shouts to Amanda Palmer.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be here without her.
Thank you, Mr. Will.
Yeah, of course. Will. I'm going to let you guys get on with it.
Such
yeah.
a pleasure to see you.
I got yeah. nothing yeah. now. I just, I don't know.
All I saw was a bunch of great shows.
Oh, hey, we all saw great.
Will Butler.
Wow. Will.
Yeah.
Have a seat, Mr. Will. There's this bench right over here.
All
right. And your, hang out with us.
To your left.
We're going
to
come right over here.
That is right.
Wow.
That's just the most beautiful thing in the world.
That was, yeah, that was fantastic. And I gotta say, yesterday was a little frustrating. I my walk to rock ratio was completely out of whack. I ended up seeing like 18 or 19 things, several of which
good.
Were fantastic, but a lot of it was walk for 25 minutes and see 5 minutes.
Right, right.
Today I saw 24 things.
Whoa.
And
wow.
I had to write down like good, great.
Wow.
I saw so much great music today. This was one of my best days at South by Southwest that I've had in 17 years of going to the festival.
Share some
three
details.
Three highlights. What are your
I can't do
you can't even do it.
Well, first of all, Ann Powers, Secret South by Santa, told me to go see Fox, who
P-H-O-X.
Now P-H-O-X, who now live in my hometown of Madison, Wisconsin. Seven-piece band, incredibly charismatic singer. They were wonderful. That was a great pick. It was very much
Steven.
It was
see,
up my alley.
I know you.
And you know, and incredibly charming.
If you'd like me to pick out future girlfriends, just give me a call.
No, he can
we'll take that offline.
Yeah,
we'll take this offline. I don't know where to go with that. I actually had in a 1 hour period, I saw Fox, ran out, saw The Soil and the Sun.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Which,
thank you.
Which
yeah.
I had talked about on the pregame show.
Leave it at that.
I'm a sports guy. And Bob, you were there. Soil and Sun, I love.
Yeah.
The 8-piece band, and, 4 men, 4 women.
And you can see they're going to grow into this sound that they're starting to create. Yeah.
Is it folky? Is it?
It's swelling. It's got like little Sufjan-y parts, and then it's got these, you know, these.
The Arcade 2004-ish sound.
It's a little, yeah, it's definitely
arcade fire
indebted, but it just wouldn't work if the songs weren't there,
yeah.
and they closed with that 8-minute song that we
yeah.
played on the show.
All right.
They were wonderful, and then managed to race back to the same venue Fox was at just as Dessa was starting, and I love Dessa.
Yeah.
Dessa is a rapper and singer from the Twin Cities,
right.
And when she hits, she'll pull your heart out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that was just in 1 hour. I saw the rapper Angel Hayes.
Oh, yeah.
And she's, you know, really broken out in the last year. She's very, very young. I mean, she's what, 19 or 20?
Yeah, I think she's a New York City rapper. She is known for doing a song, kind of an answer song to Eminem called Cleaning Out My Closet.
And, which is an incredible song if you haven't heard it. It's hard to listen to, but
yeah.
it's really powerful. And I got the sense, first, A, that she's growing into something amazing,
mm-hmm.
and B, that she's going to be very important to
yeah.
a lot of people. And I saw, we'll do somebody else, but I saw so many great things.
Steve is so excited right now. He's just like jumping up and down.
It's what, 2:30 in the morning.
Well, I saw a band that really excited me too, and lucky for us, we got a front row video of them. They're called Luella and the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Nashville, Tennessee. And this quickest description I can give is it's like Jack White, but a woman. I mean, truly
nice.
Savage, raw,
Jill
rootsy.
White.
But she, yeah, well, I guess.
Sorry.
But, I mean, look.
Hey, we're feeling agreeable, whatever.
This woman who fronts the band is so forceful and powerful, and she does kind of a you know, gospelish, soulish thing, but with just utter rawness, and the band behind her is great. Well, in the Sun, that's my pick for the day. I have other stories, but I'll let you all share yours.
I started mine with talking to Rod Argent and Colin Blunstone of the Zombies.
Awesome.
A conversation
that
was
3 days ago.
A conversation that was about an hour long. And it comes back to the same theme when we talk about Dave Grohl and Will's story. Because they are a band for many people revere the Zombies.
Absolutely.
And the record in particular, Odyssey and Oracle. At the time, that record was a flop. The
yeah.
band broke up right after the record. They didn't tour it. And it has since become something of... And it's since become something that people revere. Michael Benjamin Lerner of Telekinesis just bows to that record. So many people bow to that record. And what they said in talking in this conversation was how they just followed their heart in making this record. Same theme as we've been talking about. They weren't in it. They weren't the Beatles. You know, they weren't trying to make those records. They were trying to make the records with Rod Argent grew up on as a classical musician for 10 years, loving Bach. And you hear that stuff, and you hear the harmonies and the weird harmonies. And so that same theme over and over again. And I played for them. I played Foxygen for them, right? And played the song, the San Francisco song, listened to it.
Can I just say, I was at Bob's interview with them, and when you played that, I like tuned out just for a second, and then tuned back in, and I was listening to the song. I was like, "Oh yeah, I love this zombie song. What is it?" And I was like, "Oh, right. Wait a minute." I mean, I was like completely confused because it is so spot on.
I asked them the question of what is at the heart and soul. What is the connection, the connecting point? And I think what they came to say was that it's basically follow your heart, do what you feel is the way to do something. That's the essence of why this stuff lasts for 40 years.
Right. Try again. Because when he talked about when the band formed, I realized that was 52 years ago.
That's right.
Wow.
The band formed more than a half a century ago.
Wow, that's
crazy. That is insane.
Right. They were in high school?
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
I mean, the album is
amazing. Robin, did you have any heart moments?
Well, you know,
today?
My night was filled with nothing but screaming.
And all on the phone.
Yeah, I didn't even see any bands.
Oh, awesome.
No, that's not true.
It was a night filled with screaming, and I did see bands.
You must have seen Mets, I guess.
I did see Mets. But before that, I saw Kin Mode, which is the band that Lars Gotrich brought on our show. Right. And it was, oh my lord, it was just this.
It's Kin Mode, capital K, capital E, capital N, stands for Kill Everything Now.
Is that
either
true?
Kill everything now or kill everyone now. It's like a Henry Rollins.
I was like, I loved it. It was fun, and I would probably even see him again. But just the rage that they have, and where I'm just thinking, where is this coming from? And then I went to see Mets, which is, oh my lord, it was just a 20-minute set. The funny thing about Mets was before they played, I was talking with the bassist Chris. I'm blanking on his last name. I apologize, Chris. But I was talking with the bassist. And, you know, he's just this nice, just very sweet, you know, guy. He's just so charming. And we're just having the nice things. Like, yeah, we're working on some new stuff. And, and then he gets on stage, and it's just like, where is that coming from? He just immediately, you talk about being shot out of a cannon when you hit the stage. That band just is like they're shot out of a cannon. And then I saw Youth Lagoon because I never really saw him when we did our showcase because we were
busy kind of producing.
We were kind of busy working. And then on my way to see another band, there was this group called the John Brothers Piano Company, I believe is what it's called. These two people in the middle of the street, one on a piano, one on a clarinet. And they're like from 20s ragtimey jazz something. I don't even know how to describe it, but the guy on the clarinet just killed it. And I asked the woman who was sitting there, she's like, you gotta buy their CD, $10. And I was like, I don't know. She's like, $5, come on. And I said, oh my God, here's $10. I'll take the CD. I felt so bad. And then we just got to talking, and she said, they flew here from San Francisco. They didn't have nothing booked at all, but they got...
They're blind.
they bought this piano.
Yeah, my friends.
These are your friends? These are Will Butler's friends?
I couldn't hold it in. Yeah. I went to college with these guys. They're good
buddies. No way! It was amazing.
Yeah, I've been hoping for them since day one. They're the best.
This is the most wonderful music I've heard, right? And it's right here in the street. So they flew here. They found some crappy piano for whatever, $50. And they've been dragging it all over town. Playing.
Do the thing. Don't wait to do the thing.
They're planning on just abandoning the piano somewhere and then getting on a plane going back home, but I bought their CD and I can't wait to listen to it. It was just lovely. And then I continued on to Red 7, a club about 50 yards away where Orange Goblin was playing just bone crushing metal. They're a group, they've been at it a long time since 1995. They're from London, and you know, there was this moment during Mets where after the first song where the guitarist, the mosh pit was just starting to take off, and the guitarist said, take it easy, everybody, have fun, we want you to feel it, but
Because the last time I saw them, a guy jumped off the stage and ran right into a pole.
Oh, okay.
And maybe that's why, but yeah. The guitar said, but be cool, everyone be cool. And it just kind of died down just a little bit, but people were still feeling it. And then when I went to see Orange Goblin, the lead singer was like, come on! Come on! No, come on! He's like pumping his fist in the air like he wanted people to get going. And,
oh my God.
And I was thinking, you know, like Bob, you said the other night, you can spend the entire festival seeing nothing but hip hop.
Yeah.
You can see nothing but metal. You can see nothing but folk. And it's just amazing this is happening. All
I actually saw a metal band yesterday called Hosoi Brothers. Mm. And
oh my goodness, I know their dad.
Well, how about that? they were really good. I mean, it's just big.
That's so awesome.
Big burly metal.
Their dad, David Allgood, runs the Bama Theater, the best little venue in our town of Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Nice.
He books it.
Well, I noticed seeing Hosoi Brothers, who were really good, that there are indie rock beards, which are like I'm too sad to shave.
Yeah. No, I don't agree with you. Right?
And then
my cats have just walked off because he's laughing too hard.
And then there are metal beards.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of indie beards, here's a couple guys with indie beards. This was my happy serendipity story. I really love this woman, Nora Jane Struthers.
It's a lovely beard.
Her beard is beautiful. No, but she plays with two guys who have indie beards, I guess. They're a bluegrass band, and you know how at South By you always regret certain things, bands you don't get to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was really regretful that I missed her showcase and her day party things too. I happened to be over on the South Congress watching Llewellyn and the Sun, and I decided to take a stroll up to Yard Dog, where the Waco Brothers were going to be playing later. And there she was on the street, like she was waiting for me, and it was awesome. And she was playing for Babies. It was awesome.
Oh,
babies were
awesome.
Dancing to her music. So.
Speaking of dancing, the Rye, who I had never seen before, and when I first heard the Rye record, which is a very spare,
which I love.
It is the
sexiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's disco without the thump, with the spirit of the dance in it,
right.
But empty.
Yeah.
Always empty. And
empty in a bad way. You mean
I'm sorry.
Spare.
Spacious.
Yeah. And a big band. It's like seven players, but they all just played just when they needed to play.
Nice.
Trombone, upright bass, electric upright bass, a violin. The keyboard player was straight out of, you know, that cool Miles Davis sound, Fender Rhodes kind of sound. And the singer, when I first heard Rye, I sure was a woman. I didn't even question that it was a woman.
Me too.
I think a lot of people who may have come to see Rye tonight were quite stunned to find out that it was just...
Well, I don't know why I've had such a hard time learning more about this band, but when, I went to see Rye, Bob and I ran into each other, and I just literally did not know. I don't know who these people are. Is it a band? Is it a guy? Is it a woman? Mm-hmm.
It's usually a duo.
Yeah.
I actually caught the beginning of their set and was so frustrated I left because it was so quiet. It was like people yammering in the crowd were louder than
right
they
up
were.
Front, so.
I was about halfway back and finally just like, I love this record so much. It's just, it must be a studio thing, and laugh.
It was brilliant.
We caught the end of it.
There were some sets that I could not leave tonight today.
I had that happen a bunch of times.
And that was one of them.
Yeah.
I then saw a band called Shout Out 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 Out.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen them yet?
Yeah.
It's analog synth heaven with the two synchronized drummers, real drummers, who twirl their sticks in synchronicity.
Wow.
I mean, unbelievably beautiful to watch these guys play. And then there's just beautiful, absolute great dance music going on, which is not a drum machine. And it really made, for me, lifted and made that difference from the thump, thump, thump and 4-4-4 of much electronic dance music. Fantastic. Shout out, 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 out.
I couldn't leave the Natalie Maine set, which happened right there in the church. It was pretty awesome. A preview of her new album, which is coming out shortly. Of course, Natalie Maine's from the Dixie Chicks, playing with Ben Harper. And she did a whole bunch of covers, including an amazing version of Jeff Buckley's song, Lover, You Should Have Come Over.
That's a new Stephen Thompson.
And that's a challenge. You know, for a singer, that is a huge challenge to sing.
It's a task.
Yeah, and she made it,
so much
as
deal.
They say on American Idol, she made it her own. And then it ended, and then the show ended with her dad, Lloyd Maines, coming out playing pedal steel as Ben Harper played lap steel in this kind of epic fireworks display of guitar virtuosity that had everyone on their feet. Again, in the church, I've seen more cheering than I ever have before this trip.
Right. So, wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
For talking about serendipity, I went to see a German / Swiss. I guess a couple of them are from Germany, one of them is from Switzerland, a group called Boy. Very charming, very ingratiating, kind of, you know, but a little slight pop. And I love the songs that I'd heard. Go to their set, and it's in some restaurant. I can't get the sound to work.
Oh, no.
The woman, like, leans up to the microphone and gives herself such a shock. See her just recoiling. And, you know, we've seen a lot of fussy bands, you know, because they're dealing with not good PAs,
everyone's on a very time constraint.
Everybody's stressed out. Everybody's running everywhere. I saw this band go through 20 minutes of torture on stage, including actual physical pain.
Oh, that's so sad. But you liked them?
So they finally say, look, we really want to play for you. And there's like 150 people in this place to see this group. And they're like, we're going to go outside on the patio. And two acoustic guitars.
Oh, my.
Wow. And everybody's huddled around. And the people behind them, it's like a whisper.
Wow.
And so the people behind them were, like, requesting to turn around. And they would do, like, one verse facing the most people and then another verse for the people in the back. And they were not buskers. They did not have a big sound. Mm-hmm. But it was so cool, and it was so, the word I kept that kept racing through my mind was endearing. I just loved them. I rooted for them as people, in part because they were so gracious about this awful
thing
setup, and in part because the music was just beautiful and charming. I just loved them. They're called
this
Boys.
This just keeps coming back to the theme of do,
exactly.
Like, follow your heart
and also
do.
Right, and
don't get discouraged.
And be creative, because that's the thing about musicians or anyone. You don't have to be a musician, but just deal with what you are dealt. You know?
Yeah,
that's
well, turn weaknesses into strength.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw from Boy. It was here's this problem. Let's do something that's way better than a normal set would have been.
Yeah, that's
well.
Awesome.
Coming up next, our weather forecast and how it'll affect your weekend.
What?
And I just felt like that was the moment to segue.
Just a couple other things. DuckTales, I saw them. I thought they were really fabulous. In the way Rye is, I think they're the same sort of thing where it's spare, it's got a dance thing going on, but it doesn't hit you over the head. And it's the guy, Matt, is the leader of DuckTales. We know him from Real Estate, the guitar player, and he's singing. Really loved DuckTales.
Nice. I went to see the guy you recommended, Cale Baxley.
That's South by Secret Santa.
It was very different than what we expected, though. It really reminded me of kind of a Chris Isaak. Very moody, beautiful voice, very stylized. It was not jump around blues or James Brown-like at all. But
did he have a band?
He did. He had a pickup band that he's, again... that was one of the, to stick with our theme, again, Cale Baxley performing with musicians he had met the day before and rearranged. And he did an amazing version of The Cars, Just What I Needed, in the style of kind of a Chris Isaak, Jeff Buckley, really moody, with this band that they had just worked out like this morning. So, and I saw J.C. Brooks in the Uptown Sound, who did same thing, had written a song with a local musician on pedal steel guitar, who I didn't catch his name, that morning, and performed it at Yard Dog that afternoon. It was awesome. Lots of improvisation going on in Austin right now.
Including us.
Yeah, exactly. That's for sure.
Final day tomorrow. I hate leaving this place.
Bob, you summed it up so perfectly when after the first night here, we were having breakfast the morning after, and you said, it's like coming back to summer camp.
Yeah, it totally is.
Spring break for rockers.
And there's a lot of people you see once a year.
That's it. Yeah. That's the thing.
It's my chance to see Andrew W.K. every year.
Well,
it's my chance to see Steven. We avoid each other for the most part in the office. Yeah.
Well, I'm always happy to see you guys, but I will not be here tomorrow night for the podcast.
Aww.
I'm sorry. But you do have Will
Butler!
Mike and Will, come join us.
Wait a minute, where'd he go?
Mike.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Bob.
Beautiful night.
Thanks, Will Butler.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Love and kisses to all of you. I'm going to bed.
All right, good night.
Cheers.